So when it comes to trying to understand how the war is being waged, it's heading into its fourth year now. But right now, you know, in terms of who's winning, who's losing, who has the upper hand in a military sense, who has more political leverage in a global sense, who needs this deal the most right now?
I think it's fair to say that all sides would want some sort of peace. Of course, everything depends on the peace that is arranged in the end. Ukraine is under huge pressure now militarily. It's struggling to contain the lines in eastern Ukraine. It has lost two important cities, Pokrovsk and Kupiansk. In eastern Ukraine, it's struggling to mobilize enough soldiers. It's about to go into what likely will be a very tough winter. And it's facing a huge corruption scandal at home,
right,
which presents arguably the biggest political crisis for Zelensky since the start of the full-scale invasion. Allies close to Zelensky have been accused of mass corruption and embezzlement of funds.
Right.
At the same time, you know, while Russia appears to be doing well on the battlefield, its economy is struggling. The oil sanctions introduced by Trump are starting to have an impact. Russia has lost 35% revenue in oil and gas sales this year compared to previous years. So this war economy is starting to come to a halt. And I think Putin realizes that it cannot sustain this war on the same level it has before. And even though he's making progress, it comes at enormous costs. Over a million Russians have either been killed or wounded. And the question is, for how much longer will he be able to sustain sort of this current level of fighting?
Well, on that, what is the public mood like in both countries? Because I think, you know, at the beginning of this war, there was a lot of awe and respect for the fact that there was such Ukrainian strength and spirit. Mm. And, you know, 4 years, it's a long time to be suffering in these conditions. And so I wonder, in terms of the civilians on both sides, how are they now feeling about their leaders and about the state of this war?
Well, it's always slightly tough to pull the mood in Russia because it's a very authoritarian state. But the few hints we're getting from the last independent pollster, Levada, show that the majority of Russians now want peace. It's a criminal offense to say you're against the war. When Russians are asked, would you want the peace talks to start, 60 to 70% say yes. So we can see that I think the war fatigue is kicking in Russia as well. In Ukraine, it's difficult because we know that, you know, every Ukrainian would like the war to end, not tomorrow, but today.
But also, you know, not for nothing.
Not for nothing, exactly. So, you know, when asked, you know, would you like the war to end? Of course, it's a logical thing to say yes, because the Ukrainians are the ones dying and coming under shelling every day. Everyone knows someone who's been killed fighting. At the same time, they're not willing to give up land. And I think the biggest issue for Ukraine is to get security guarantees to make sure this never happens again. So yes, they're really looking forward to this war to end, but only in a sort of just peace.
And ultimately, what incentive is there for Putin to agree to a deal?
The way he's looking at it is a win-win situation. Either he gets a deal that is so favorable for Russia, where he really gets these sort of written guarantees that Ukraine becomes a neutral country, that it will never be able to defend itself in the future, possibly triggering political chaos in Ukraine, which he could then use later on. Putin's aim is still to get a Ukraine that's completely subordinate to Russia. That never changed. So either he gets a very good deal right now, in his view, and if he doesn't, no problem, we'll just keep the war going. Also taking in mind that Trump could pull away.
Right. I mean, you've written about the fact that this last week, irrespective of what's in the deals and what's not in the deals, just the chaos around the plans just plays entirely into Putin's hands. Can you explain why?
Well, for Putin, it's important that the West is not acting as a united bloc. And we've seen tensions between Americans and Europeans, again, come to the surface. And I think through throwing out this peace plan, he managed to change the momentum.
Piotr, finally, Tuesday afternoon, peace plan Mark III is on the table. How likely do you think it is that it will bring a conclusive end to this war? And how much do you trust that peace will hold if it does?
Well, Trump said he wants peace by Thanksgiving, which is Thursday. We can obviously forget about that. The main obstacle remains Russia. And they've indicated that...
As it always has been.
There always has been, of course, because they're the invading party. The war could stop tomorrow if Russian troops just leave. But for Putin, you know, ending the war without gaining everything he wants would be very hard. He's so obsessed with, you know, making Ukraine sort of his puppet that it's hard to imagine that unless he gives everything, which Ukraine can't and Europe won't want to, he will stop. So I think for now, I'm still pessimistic.
I can't say that's the answer we wanted to hear. But Piotr, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
That was Piotr Sauer, Russian affairs reporter for The Guardian. My thanks to him. You can read Piotr's reporting on the story and his analysis all at theguardian.com. And that is it for today. This episode was presented by me, Nosheen Iqbal. It was produced by Ivor Manley, Tom Glasser and Cass Denton. Sound design is by Ross Burns. The executive producer was Huma Khalili. We'll see you again tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.